are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, The Hardball Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at StaceGotts. Please feel free to tweet questions or comments to either account. We're also on Instagram at Locked On Yankees, all one word. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. We will be discussing more in depth yesterday's game, a victory for the Yankees. Jameson Taillon spoke about his performance. Gary Sanchez had some things to say. Gerrit Cole had some things to say. And I will update you on what's happening right now during today's game, because it is 2:23 p.m. The Yankees are beating the Orioles 4-1 at the moment. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Radio.com, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. Now, before I get into everything, I will let you know that a bonus episode is going up at some point, hopefully today, maybe tomorrow. I had a discussion with Gabrielle Starr of Locked On Red Sox and Javier Reyes of Locked On Padres about the newest allegations that have come out about Mickey Callaway. I know some of you are thinking, Mickey Callaway has nothing to do with the Yankees, but he perpetuates everything that is wrong with baseball and with sports overall regarding sexual harassment. So look out for that. I will try not to get into it during this episode, even though, you know, we recorded for maybe a half hour, and I was so fired up after recording that I felt like I needed to speak on it for more than just a half hour. I felt like I could go on for 2 hours, but I won't do that here. Or at least I'll try not to. I will just say that I'm sick and tired of people defending him, defending the people who enabled him, defending the people who knew he was doing this stuff and didn't do anything about it. Instead of taking care of the guy who is sexually harassing women, it's always thrust upon the woman to do something. Try not to encourage him. Don't dress this way. Don't do this. Don't do that. How about you tell the men to stop being pigs? How about that? Okay, before I go on a rant, because that wasn't even a rant. That wasn't even me starting. And I can't curse on this podcast. So let's just end that there and let's discuss yesterday. Jameson Taillon, as I said during yesterday's show, and I found it highly amusing, I had taken my break to do my live read. And by the time I was done with the live read, his inning was over. He only threw 7 pitches. It was a 1-2-3-7 pitch inning, which is good because, you know, that's great. His pitch count would be low in a regular season game if he was only throwing 7 pitches an inning. But for someone who's coming back from injury, you kind of want to get a little more work in. So he did. He went to the bullpen and finished it off. But here's what he had to say after the game yesterday.
In my head, I was like, man, I wish I could have gotten a little more in-game work there. But you know what? For the first one, shorter is better, quick and clean, get in, get out. I'm healthy. I feel great. Just some of the little things, getting back into compete mode again, see how the delivery carries over. I'll have to go back and watch video to, you know, see. But it felt really good. It felt clean. I feel healthy. Those are all the big takeaways.
Then Taillon was asked about how he felt going into the game yesterday because, you know, he's coming back from injury. It's his first time out, and this is what he had to say.
Yeah, so I'm not used to not starting. So that was different in my mind earlier. And then, you know, we've got such an easy access to the backfield there. I was able to warm up right as pretty much as I would if I were starting the game. So that was really nice. I didn't have butterflies once I got to the field, but waking up today, it definitely felt a little different. So I was a little nervous. But other than that, once I got going, once I'm on the mound and stuff, that's kind of like my safe spot where I'm confident. So it felt good.
Then he was asked what the next step is, if he threw everything he needed to throw, and this is what he said.
So the next step will be just getting into a two-inning game, upping the pitch count. I didn't get to throw any change-ups today. That pitch usually just kind of comes last in my mind. The other pitches take a little bit of priority over that one. But I'd love to just kind of run some more sequences together and just honestly get back in game mode and get to face more hitters. That's really the next step, is just to turn a lineup over, see the hitters more than once, see how my stuff plays.
As I said during yesterday's show and as the game was on, Gerrit Cole started yesterday's outing. He did not have as clean an inning as Tyone did. He threw 28 pitches. He gave up one run on three hits. He struck out a batter and he walked a batter. And this is what he said after his outing.
Feeling good. Hit the pitch count because I couldn't throw enough good pitches. And I thought we shaped some good breaking balls and executed some good pitches, so today was a good day.
Was there something specifically you were working on heading into this outing that you really wanted to try out there?
I mean, I think specifically just trying to stay within myself, and feel good when we're, obviously health is major, so feeling good when you're coming out of the first one. Specifically, those two are important. And then, you want your stuff to be, either want, I guess, kind of good location, or you want your stuff to be kind of moving the way it should. And today, sacrificing a little bit of location, certainly, but everything was moving the way it should. So that was good.
In a moment, we're going to hear from Gary Sanchez, who hit a monster of a home run during yesterday's game. But first, do you own a car? Because if you do own a car, you should go to rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. We're covering everything you need to know about the New York Yankees, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. So in the good news department, Gary Sanchez had a nice game yesterday. He hit a monster of a home run off the batter's eye at Steinbrenner Field. He also had a good game behind the plate, blocking pitches with his one-legged stance. And this is what he had to say.
Can you just describe that home run? A lot of us have never seen a ball hit over the batter's eye out there.
Hola, Gary. Si no puedes describir un poquito de ese home run, ¿sabes? Muchos de nosotros nunca hemos visto un batazo así que huele la parte negra de atrás del center field.
Bueno, nada, en ese momento estaba tratando de buscar un picheo en la zona donde yo pueda hacer un buen swing. Me lo tiró ahí y le hizo un buen swing, se sintió bien. Mi primer jonrón en spin trade, correr la base y eso, me sentí muy bien.
Yeah, just looking for a pitch to hit there. I wanted something in the zone that I could put a good swing on, and I did, and it felt good. It felt good to connect and run around the bases. My first homer sprint training definitely felt good.
Next, Marley Rivera of ESPN asked him about his working relationship with Cole, because as you all know, Cole pitched yesterday. Sanchez caught him, and this is what Sanchez had to say.
Yeah, we've been working together. We've been working a lot here in sprint training. I've caught him. I cut, I believe, a couple of bullpens and a couple of fly sessions with him. It was about to get, the idea was to get on the same page, work together seamlessly. I'm trying to do the best I can to help him. He's also going to help me, and having a year of experience catching him, you know, also helps.
Vin Sanchez was asked about something that he said during the offseason, that last season wasn't really him. And his answer is basically, it's too early to tell if he's turned things around, but he feels good right now. So here's what he said.
Yeah, it's definitely too early. But I definitely felt good today. Like I've said before, I've been working extremely hard with Marcus and PJ, making adjustments at in the box, one of them staying, keeping my weight more on my right leg, and keep working, you know, keep working towards that consistency and hopefully keep improving on the upcoming games.
I'm happy that Gary Sanchez came out and told everyone that he's putting in the work to improve after his horrible season last season, because there is a faction of our fan base that believes Gary Sanchez is lazy, he doesn't want to work, he doesn't want to do things, he just shows up and plays baseball. And that's so far from the truth, and I'm glad that he's letting people know, no, I'm putting in work to make myself better, this is not acceptable. No baseball player wants to be bad, hello? I'm sure he was not happy with how he was performing last season. And when he said he was working with PJ and Marcus, those are the hitting coaches, and I'm glad to see, you know, he was playing during the Dominican Winter League. They showed a couple of home runs that he hit, but there wasn't a lot of news coming out of the Dominican League, so we didn't really know how he did. Not that it really matters. As long as he stays healthy and he's just working on stuff, that's all that really anyone should care about right now. I'm just glad that he's taking the steps to improve. Because again, last year was just... But I spoke about this on a podcast that I appeared on last night. By the way, I did my first live podcast on video and it was terrifying. And I really don't ever want to do it again, but I'm going to have to. So at least I got the first one out of the way. And it was with Red Sox fans. I was outnumbered by Red Sox fans. And that was not fun. I don't recommend that. But anyway, I was talking about how last season you can't... Oh gosh... You can't hold last season against anyone. And in a way, you also can't praise someone for last season because it was so short. 60 games is not a lot. And it was kind of funny because the host of the show, who's a Red Sox fan, was trying to make it seem as if Gerrit Cole was not good last year. And I made it a point to say that it normally takes Gerrit Cole about 12 starts to really get into it and get his season rolling. He made 12 starts last season, and at the end of the year, his ERA was 2.84. I would sign up for that every day, twice on Sundays. So, Gary Sanchez is very hot and cold, and last year he was obviously cold. So I'm hoping that maybe this year he will be hot. Or sufficiently warm. He doesn't have to be hot. He just has to be warm compared to what he was last season. That's all I'm asking for. He doesn't have to be Arizona in the middle of the summer. He could be San Diego in the middle of the summer. 75, well, San Diego all year round, honestly. Sunny, 75, clear skies. He doesn't need to be 115 and a dry heat. That's not necessary. Or, even worse, 115 and humid. I'm going to go off on a teeny bit of a tangent here, but it has to do with the Yankees in a way. How do people prefer summer over any other season? And there are people out there, if summer was 80 degrees, sunny, low humidity every day, I would love summer. I would never want summer to leave. But summer is not like that, especially not in the New York City area. We get the humidity, we get occasional heat waves with humidity. Like, it's not even a dry heat. Not that that helps, because, you know, 105 is 105, and it's gross no matter what. I went to a game, I want to say it was 2012, and it had to be 96 or 97 at the start of the game. It was a day game. It was atrocious, horrible. I was sitting in the shade, and it was still disgusting. It was one of those days where sitting in the shade didn't even help. And I just question people who like that kind of weather. Why would you like sitting somewhere and sweating? When you're sweating from not doing anything, it's too hot. I'm sorry. That's just ridiculous. And you see the players, you know, sweat's dripping off them. You have swamp ass while you're sitting there. Well, especially me, because I don't wear shorts. I wear jeans no matter how hot it is. It could be 105 degrees and I'll still wear jeans. So I'm sitting there with swamp ass, just completely uncomfortable. And there are people running around going, I love summer so much. No, sorry. Oh, and to make that game even worse, Phil Hughes got bombed by, I think, the Braves? Yeah, I think it was the Braves. And it was just miserable all around. It was a miserable game. The weather was miserable. And just, so yeah, Gary Sanchez, if you want to be San Diego hot in 2021, I am all for it. If you wanted to bet on Gary Sanchez having a bounce back season, you could go to betonline.ag because they're the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. Baseball is on the way. There are odds for the divisions, odds for who's going to win the World Series, odds for who's making the playoffs, everything. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. If you're the type of baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, we have the podcast for you. Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aram Layton. It's the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. From team-focused farm system breakdowns, prospect rankings, and interviews with some of the brightest stars and upcomers in the game, Locked On MLB Prospects is the best way to stay plugged in on the future of your favorite team. Subscribe today wherever you get podcasts. When I started the show, the Yankees were up 4-1 in the third inning. Right now, they're up 4-2 in the sixth inning. It's the top of the sixth inning. There are two outs, and there's a runner on second. I don't know who it is, but Mike Tauchman is at the plate. Good news from today. Jordan Montgomery pitched two innings. He allowed a run. He struck out two. He's coming back from his surgery, although he did pitch a few times last season. But this is a big deal. The Yankees have so many guys coming back from injury. It's kind of scary. I know I say this all the time, but you have Jordan Montgomery's coming back from injuries. You have Corey Kluber, Jameson Taillon, Luis Severino. They're hoping may come back by July. There's just a lot of question marks in that pitching staff. I'm not worried about everyone else. I mean, I'm worried about, obviously, Judge and Stanton staying healthy for more than, you know, four games at a time. But I'm really worried about the pitching staff. Last night, the Yankees put out the roster of guys who were traveling to play Baltimore, and Chad Green was on it at first, and then they amended the roster, and he wasn't on it, and people were slightly scared, and by people, I mean me. But it turns out that Boone kept him back at Steinbrenner Field, and he pitched live batting practice. So Chad Green is perfectly okay and healthy. That had nothing to do with it. They just decided to keep him back. Boone said, "We're just trying to be wise and slow play our higher leverage relievers as far as game action. We're trying to be mindful of innings coming off the last season. I want to be mindful of that with our relievers as well. So there's a good chance we might hold some of these guys back and keep them in more controlled environments," which makes sense. But yeah, when that first came out, my first thought was, oh no, here we go. Things are starting already. Speaking of coming back from injuries, or in this case, surgery, Gio Urshela is expected to play in his first spring training game Thursday against the Phillies in Clearwater. If you recall, he had surgery to remove a bone spur from his right elbow. So that'll be interesting to see. Hopefully he's okay. I've seen clips of him working out with everyone, so, you know, doing drills on the field. So I'm assuming he's okay. Tomorrow night, the Yankees are playing their first night game of the season. I mentioned this yesterday, but I'll mention it again. They're playing the Blue Jays. You will see Brett Gardner and Giancarlo Stanton, barring any changes before then. You will see those two play in live game action for the first time in spring training. And Corey Kluber will be making his Grapefruit League debut. During yesterday's game against the Tigers, Nick Nelson had a good outing. He retired six of the seven batters he faced. He pitched to a 4.79 ERA over 11 relief appearances last season. He thinks he can crack the opening day roster as a starter or a reliever. He said, "I learned that I can trust my pitches, that I don't have to be fine with them. I learned that I can trust my pitches, that I don't have to be too fine with them. That was a big thing I took away. Going into the offseason, I had an idea of what I needed to do and what I needed to work on from a pitching standpoint and a weight room standpoint. Nelson is 25 years old, but the key with him is that he has four pitches that he can throw. And that's always a good thing for a pitcher. Unless you're Mariano Rivera and you have the one pitch that can get everyone out, or Chad Green, who really only has two pitches, right? But if you have four, there are more options for you, because you could be a starter or you could be a reliever. Being a reliever with four pitches is kind of cool. You're only in for a little while and you get to really screw with the batters, I would think. Of course, it depends on the pitch, but if you're the type of guy that has a high 90s fastball but can dial it down to the 80s and put some movement on that ball, you can really screw with some batters. That's got to be fun. That's why I always loved pitching. When I was writing about baseball, I loved breaking down pitching performances and what pitches were used, the velocity, the location. I just was so fascinated by that. And that's why, as much as I love watching guys hit the ball, I am so fascinated by pitching. I love it so much, especially guys who have really crazy ball movement, like our dearly departed Adam Ottavino, who's now a member of the Red Sox. When he had that one pitch working that would just move like a wiffle ball, that always fascinated me. I couldn't believe that a human could make a baseball do that. I played wiffle ball a lot as a kid. I grew up with a lot of boy neighbors, and I loved doing boy things. I was a tomboy and a girly girl at the same time. Kind of odd, but yes. And that's what his pitches remind me of. Reminds me of a wiffle ball. And anytime a pitcher can do that with a baseball, I just sit there in awe watching it. Before I go, let's check in on the Yankees. Still up 4-2. It's the end of the third inning. And I'm going to look at TweetDeck just to see what the beat writers are saying, because a bunch of them are there. Oh, Jordan Montgomery said that he's been getting texts from Andy Pettit and CC Sabathia. Pettit's message, your fastball is better than mine, so you've just got to throw it in there for strikes. Okay, I'm sorry. How cool is that? Like, could you imagine being a young baseball player? I know he's on the Yankees, but getting texts from Andy Pettit and CC Sabathia? That's gotta be the coolest thing ever. Oh, hey, who's that text from? Oh, no one. It's just Andy Pettit. Oh, and apparently during the game, John Means started for the Orioles, and then they took him out with two outs in the first inning, brought someone in to get the third out, and then Means came out to pitch the second inning. Why do I kind of wish that they could do that during the regular season? Like, oh, you can't get this guy out. We'll bring someone else in, and then you can come in the next inning. I always feel, this is one of my things, I had spoken about this on many podcasts before, not even just this one. I think that there should be pinch runners who just run for guys and then don't bat for them. Like, say Giancarlo Stanton hits a double and you don't want him running because he tends to injure his calves and quads and every other muscle in his legs. So bring in Tyler Wade to run for him. And then the next time Stanton comes up, he can be there. He doesn't have to be replaced by Tyler Wade. He just had a pinch runner. Why can't they do that? Once again, a reminder of the emergency podcast that I recorded with Gabrielle Starr of Locked On Red Sox and Javier Reyes of Locked On Padres about the Mickey Callaway situation. That will either come out later tonight or tomorrow, so be on the lookout for it. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can subscribe to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Radio.com, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB Prospects. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Tuesday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.